This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Negative 16 yards. And they're losing more here. Bryce Huff with the sack. Robert Saleh loves this guy. And he comes up with the sack for the Jets defense on first down.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, was that Fox again? Who is that broadcaster? He seems to have done 48 Bryce Huff sacks. Oh, that was CBS? All right.
I think that was Andrew Catalan, if memory serves.
I have no idea who. I don't even know who that is now that you've said the name.
Come on.
I don't.
One of the great voices of the NFL on
CBS. I'm on Red Zone. You guys know me. I'm on Red Zone. I ain't listening to these
dudes. You
gotta
know your broadcast crew.
I'm here bouncing all over the place. I don't know who it is. Some guy.
I think it's Andrew Catalan. Whatever.
Yeah, don't shame me.
Shout out NFL on CBS.
Okay.
I want to. You guys talked about Rocco, Clay's dog, yesterday. He officially passed.
Rest in peace.
Clay has posted on Instagram.
What did he say?
First of all, it's a 12 different photos or videos of Clay and Rocco. And he wrote, "I'm going to miss Rocco a lot. 13 glorious years with my boy. I know he's in doggy heaven, popping somebody's ball. A great dynasty dog he was. Thank you all for the sweet messages. All dogs go to heaven."
Oh, that's nice. Clay wrote. That's sweet. That's sweet. He sounds like he's in a decent place about it.
All dogs go to heaven. Indeed, they do.
Yep, they do. And my sense, because remember Dibs yesterday had that comment from Clay's dad, Michael, who on the air down in L.A. A couple of days ago said it was time. And so what that tells me is that this was not a surprise.
Yeah.
This did not come out of nowhere. And I always feel like, and this is whether it's a human, whether it's a dog, whatever, if you have that sort of lead up and it
makes it a little easier.
It's not a shock to the system. You kind of know that, your interactions with this person, with this animal, whatever, are starting to run a little thin. Doesn't make it any easier, I guess, in terms of emotions that are around it. But I was kind of glad to hear that Rocco, it sounds like Rocco had a great life, man.
Oh my God.
Rocco had a great life.
Yeah. So, there's one video on Clay's Instagram post of Rocco chasing around like one of those like blow up bouncy yoga balls. And he's just running around the Warriors facility chasing the
ball. Oh my God. Look at that. That's pretty cute.
It is great.
That's pretty
freaking
cute.
But I was looking at it during the commercial break and it made me think of like other Rocco moments. And it made me think of this one and I looked it up because I couldn't quite remember exactly when it happened or if like it actually happened or if it was just like some rumor. But remember when Trace Thompson, Clay's brother, was on the Dodgers?
Yes.
Major League Baseball player. Trace is on the Dodgers, and for whatever reason, I don't know, it's during the offseason, Clay's down in L.A., and maybe ESPN had a Sunday night Dodgers game, and they're interviewing Trace and Clay on the field before the game. And in the background, you can see Rocco walking around, and he takes a poop on Dodger Field. A true Bay Area dog.
That,
taking a crap.
That's my dog
on the
right
field
there.
At Dodger Stadium.
That's my dog right there.
Yeah.
That's going to be a yes from me, dog.
Rest in peace, Rocco.
Oh, my God.
A legend.
Take a big dump right on Dodger Stadium. That's
and you can see him just in the background. Clay's being interviewed, and you see him walk into the view of the camera, and he's just squatting over right there in front of the Dodger dugout.
That's the best. It's the best. Dude, I like, and this is not going to be a new statement. People know this. If there were a way, if there were a way for us people to just act a little bit like dogs, this world would be so much better. I get it. They don't have the responsibilities that we do. But man, like even if you just take a little piece of it, right? If you could respond to your family when you get home the way they do.
Oh man.
Could you know what I mean? Could all of us just get a little slice of that? I was listening, you know what I was listening to recently who was talking about this is the comedian Ricky Gervais.
Okay, yeah.
And Ricky, like, I think is a huge dog lover. And actually, whether it's taking his own dog for a walk or just a morning walk where he goes where people go with dogs.
Sees other dogs.
Which is a little creepy in a way. He's just like, I'm here for your dogs. But, like, he does this on a daily basis because he's like, I don't know any other way to start my day. Like, I have to go get a little fix of the way dogs
unconditional love
treat people and the way they treat each other. And that helps me just manage the rest of life and the rest of days. And look, I'm not saying this from a place where like I'm good at it. Believe me, there are plenty of days where, right, you get home from a long one and you're just like, meh. You know what I mean?
Don't
how's
talk
your day?
To me.
Yeah, it's not a good one. But like if you could just start there, if we had the ability to react to our families when we get home or when they get home the way our dogs do, oof, sign me up for that.
What gets me
incredible.
I had a childhood dog growing up that we had to put down. I must have been like 13 or something when we put my childhood dog down. And I still, to this day, maybe obviously less so now, I'm not at home as much anymore, but there'll be times where I'll like open the front door to my parents' house and I'll just like be transported back to when my dog was still with us. And I'll be like expecting her to run to the front door and like jump into my arms. And we're talking about like 16 years later.
But it was every day.
Every single day. And like, there are moments where I walk in the door and I'm like, where? Oh.
Oh, dude, believe me. If we like, and sometimes if I run her really, really, you know, go to a dog park in the morning and it's a hot day or something like that. Or sometimes it's because somebody accidentally closed the door, right? And she's like snoozing on my bed and somebody closed the door. If you come home and she's not right there, the first thought immediately is,
oh my God, the hell's the dog?
Like, did the dog get out? What's going on here? Something's wrong.
Yeah.
Because they are right there.
Without fail.
Under your feet. Every single time.
No, I'm bougie. I like the little dogs. What's the expensive ones? The Yorkies.
That was actually funny. When we went to go get a dog, that was actually one of my rules. I'm like, I don't need some huge 80, 100-pound dog.
Yeah.
But I'm not getting a little dog. Nah. We're not getting one of these things that's
like
the size
dogs.
Of your forearm.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that. This dog needs to have a little something to it.
Nice little medium-sized dog.
Yeah. And Penny is probably medium-large, which is funny, though, because Christy has a much smaller dog. And so to her, like, when Penny's in the car with us, she's like, good Lord, Penny, you're a horse. Like, get off of me. You are huge. Not that big of a dog. She's like, I don't know, 55 pounds or whatever. Like, medium-large.
Yeah.
But I couldn't do what Guru was saying there. I couldn't do the tiny little,
me neither.
Little dog.
Me neither.
Dog's got to have a little something to it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'm with you.
Anyway.
Rest in peace, Rocco.
Rest in peace, Rocco. Yeah, all of our thoughts go out to Clay on that one. That's a life change.
Yeah.
That's a total life change.
Can I share something with you?
Please.
So, talking about the It's a getting us back to basketball.
Lucas's face. Part of this, by the way, before you say what you're going to say, I just love to bring people behind the curtain on this one. So part of it is Lucas is in your seat today.
Yeah.
So you're not usually sitting there. Plus, you're taller than Lucas. So
he also sits very low in his chairs. So it is the weirdest thing.
Lucas's stature, when something gets said on the show that gets a reaction out of him, you literally look like, I think, was it Home Improvement who had the neighbor who was always looking right
at
But you only got half of his face. And so I have the upper half of Lucas's face, and then you get that, like, the facial expressions which come from the eyes. And so whatever you just said there, could I share something with you? Lucas got a little, like, intrigued and scared at the same time. Well,
that's how Lucas reacts to half the things I say.
So hoping we were getting personal.
This little face is getting popped up over the monitor like, that you kind of look like, you look like a dog looking over a couch.
Thank you.
Or like out the window when mom or dad arrives home. So, okay, let's hear it, Greg.
Anyway, we were talking about Giannis and big moves and trades.
Do not want that guy.
And you're out on Giannis, amazingly, somehow. Found the first person in America out on Giannis.
Out.
I'm of the mind that I don't think the Warriors even need a Giannis-sized move in order to compete for a championship next year. The obvious follow-up then becomes, okay, well, Grandy, who do you think that they could add that makes them that much better? The name that I believe in the most is a name that you and I both agree on. It's Cam Johnson, and we are big fans of Cam Johnson. We did a whole show on him before the trade deadline. Ended up not happening because Jimmy Butler happened.
Highly rated show.
I'm still a huge fan of Cam Johnson, but I think there's a name that we could throw out there and add to the mix potentially, because I was reading a Yahoo Sports NBA mock draft done by Kevin O'Connor, who is very plugged into all these things, and he gets to the number 7 pick in his mock draft, which is owned by the New Orleans Pelicans. And he says that they're going to draft Con Knipple, the freshman out of Duke. Okay. Not that freshman out of Duke, but a different freshman out of Duke. They were all freshmen, and they were all very good. They're going to draft Con Knipple. But in the little like blurb he writes about the pick, he starts it off by saying, "There are no untouchables in New Orleans. League sources say the Pelicans are gauging the market for everyone on their roster. They very well could end up keeping their core pieces, namely Zion Williamson, but it appears the Pelicans are looking into taking different paths this summer depending on what opportunities become available."
Okay.
I look at the New Orleans roster and I try to find pieces that fit the Golden State Warriors.
And
I circle Trey Murphy III.
Okay. Phew.
Not Zion. I know what you guys were thinking that
entire
time.
I was so nervous
he
didn't read the news.
Oh, my God.
Also, yes, I know what happened with Zion.
Well, there's some people probably driving around. If you've been at work all day, Zion has been accused of rape and years of abuse by an unnamed female. So the lawsuit just came out today. And so as you started to build this Pelicans take, it was hilarious once again to watch half of Lucas's face come up over that monitor. He's also whispering to me, "Did you see? Did you see?" Because he didn't want, I know what Lucas is like, don't be like, "Yeah, Zion, that'd be a great idea. Get that guy."
Just bury Grandy for his
Zion,
bad take.
Zion right now, I'm going to put him right over here on the whole NBA shelf.
Yes.
Because I have no idea where this is going, and all of us were very relieved to hear you come up with a different name. I do like Trey Murphy. That's a good play.
If the Pelicans are open to moving on from anybody and everybody, there's a couple of names that are intriguing on the Pelicans. Herb Jones is the other.
Yep.
One of maybe the in terms player. Of players that might be available for acquisition this offseason, maybe the best perimeter defender out there. He's amazing defensively. Trey Murphy III, though, is an amazing three-point shooter.
He's tremendous.
And he has the ability to be a whole lot better defensively than he has been. And he recently signed a pretty nice extension, making $25 million this coming year. So you would have to do some cap gymnastics to make it all work. But if the Pelicans want to play ball, the Warriors absolutely need to check in on Trey Murphy III. An amazing three-point shooter.
Okay, how do they get him? Real quick. We're actually going to do this time. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station in the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Okay, go ahead. How do the Warriors get him?
He makes $25 million this coming year. He's under control for three more beyond this, and he's only 25 years old right now. So it's, you're probably going to have to give up a pick, I would imagine, because he's a young, quality player, and you're going to have to make the money work. It might be part of a Jonathan Kuminga sign and trade. That could be part of it. Who knows? And you would need the Nets to participate in order to eat some money one way. I haven't put together a three or four team trade that fits and works. But if the Pelicans are in a spot where they are willing to move on from any and everyone, the Warriors need to check in on Trey Murphy III. He would be a dream fit on the Warriors next to Jimmy Butler.
Remember, though, the Kuminga sign and trade thing, you can only take half the money back.
You can add more money on your end sending out, and that counts in full to get up to near $25 million.
So you just traded.
You could get it done.
Buddy Hield is who you just traded.
Or Moses Moody or someone like that. Yes.
Yep. I mean, in theory, love the idea. But that is as, to me, that is as big, as aggressive as you will see. Excuse me. The Warriors get. I don't think it goes anywhere beyond that in terms of name value and blockbuster and all of that stuff. And kind of that was my point for anybody who might just be joining late with regard to the I don't want Giannis thing. It's not really an I don't want Giannis thing having anything to do with Giannis. Like, yes, if you can get one of those players on your team, you flat out do it. But I think right now the situation the Warriors find themselves in is preventative because in order to do that, you are going to mortgage so much. And no, I don't worry too much about the future. What I do worry about, though, is just the way you run your business. And so in theory, if somebody was like, how many picks would you give up for Giannis? All of them. All of them, in theory. But again, when you look at who the Warriors are right now and kind of how they're built, this comment that Steve Kerr made on the Tom Tolbert show, to me, was very, very revealing and smart. And so take a listen to it, and then I'll explain further.
I think the Jimmy trade was a clear indication that we're going for it the next couple of years. You know, they gave Jimmy the extension. His contract lines up with Draymond's and Steph's. They each have 2 years remaining. Jimmy is one of the best players in the league. We instantly became one of the best teams in the league when he got here. Yeah, we're going for it these next 2 years. We're not in a position because, you know, Steph's 37, Jimmy 36, Draymond 35. And it's not my job, it's Mike's job to determine all this stuff. But can you imagine trading away your next seven drafts, you know, with a team of, you know, built around three guys who were 36, 37? Yep. Like, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense, right? So I think what we're doing makes sense. Like, we got Jimmy. I think finding, you know, another cornerstone next to Steph for these last couple of years was crucial. That's the hard part. And these last couple of years have shown that, you know, it's been really hard, you know, after we won our title in 22. Last couple of years have been tough. We needed somebody like Jimmy. Well, we got him now. He's still really good. I think we're set up to go for it the next 2 years. But yeah, you don't give up, you know, four firsts and three swaps, and not when your guys are 37. So
yeah,
I think that's how we're operating. That's how Mike is operating. I think he's fantastic at his job. And my job is to, you know, coach the team and see what we can do.
Steve Kerr did not present that thought as like, ooh, that's something we'd hesitate to do. He made it sound laughably ridiculous. Laughably ridiculous.
As someone who might not have a personal stake in the franchise 4 or 5 years from now.
He's like, you don't run a business that way. You don't go send all of your assets out the door when your core has all had their 35th birthday. And I want to phrase it in a way that people are not comfortable with. And I get it because he's quite frankly been, in my eyes, the best individual in the history of Bay Area sports. And that is saying a lot. But I do believe that about Steph Curry. But he's about to retire. He's about to retire. I don't know if it's exactly 2 years, maybe three, but he is about to be done. And so It doesn't make sense for Giannis. It doesn't make sense for the Warriors. It's just the spot they're in. I find it to be totally preventative and a deal that doesn't – it's one of those – you know how everyone looks for a deal where they're like, ooh, that deal was good for all sides. This is bad for everybody. It would be a bad deal for all parties. And those of you, by the way, I saw a lot of those messages who were like, if you got Giannis and then cupboard totally bare and then Steph and Jimmy and Steve and Draymond and everybody retires, well, now you've got Giannis and tons of cap space. Yeah, I don't think that works either. If you think about it, players don't cherry pick just one other player. Superstars do. Superstars team up. LeBron and Wade and Bosch. They talked, let's get together. But the David Wests of the world, the people who are like, I'll go on a minimum contract to win a championship, they don't look for a star, they look for a situation. They look, I can win a title there next year. You can't whittle this entire organization 2 years from now down to one human being. That's not fair. It's not fair to him. It's not fair to you. It's not fair to the fans. It won't work. You know what I mean? Like, honestly, we love Steph more than anyone, right?
Yes.
What if it was just him? That's it. Cap space aplenty and Steph Curry. No other players at all. You think people are dying to come join that?
Kind of feels like Kobe's last couple of years with the Lakers.
Which went how?
Terrible.
Exactly. So
they won like 20-something games.
I'm not trying to be like this is not a hot take. I'm not trying to get a reaction. And I love Giannis. He's one of the best players in the world. Situationally, this is a bad idea. It doesn't work right now.
I mean, you're talking about Steph is on the doorstep of retirement. I don't think the Warriors have time to like continue to fiddle and make major changes like that. Now you tell me you could get Giannis by giving up Jimmy and like a couple of picks. Like, okay, for sure, you're doing it. But like when it comes to the Warriors who are working up against a clock that is running down, all right, Steph's timer is running out. Like it is ticking actively and you're getting damn near the end of it all. You have finally found a number two alongside Steph that makes competing somewhat realistic. Like you know for a fact that when Steph and Jimmy are healthy, you have a team. It almost is regardless of like who is around them. You feel pretty good about those two. If they're healthy, and yes, it's a major if, you'll feel pretty good about your chances to beat anybody in front of you. It's a gigantic risk when you are at the tail end of Steph's career to say, okay, we have that, but we think we can make it even better when you don't know if it's going to be even better in the first place. Now, you, Giannis alongside Steph and Dre, is that better than Jimmy? Yeah, probably. But you don't know what other moves that's going to precipitate and how it's going to affect the entire rest of the roster. You have found something that like theoretically and in practice worked
it
pretty
works.
Darn well.
It works.
This is what you ride out.
By the way,
you don't have enough time to continue to experiment at a major, major level that way.
This is also, I just thought of this. This is not a perfect comp, but this just popped into my mind when you said what you just said about like, this is already now in a short sample, it's been proven to work. Not every pairing works. So who's been paired with Giannis the last couple of years?
Dame.
It's actually the guy who I think most people think is the closest comp to Steph Curry that there is in the league in terms of style of play. He is a point guard, but he's an unbelievable extended three-point shooter who works very well as also the leading scorer, not the distributor, but the leading scorer on a team.
And he was really good this past year, and they still couldn't do anything.
They didn't play well. They didn't win. In the East? So I just want to throw that out there too. I'm not saying Jimmy Butler's a better basketball player than Giannis, but you have to concede that one pairing has already got some data, and it's pretty good. It's pretty good data. The other pairing has no data, and you can think that it would be better, but
it
you
might be.
Have to concede that you might be wrong. You might be wrong. I mean, how many times did Steve Kerr come on this show and in the Kuminga conversation was like, you know, like he was hurt and then we found something. He always phrased it that way. We found something. In other words, even once they acquired Jimmy, they thought Mike Dunleavy thought it was going to work, but you don't know. And then he showed up and it really did. They started playing really good basketball. Go, okay, this works, but it doesn't always work. I worked in LA when they acquired Dwight Howard. I was there. I watched that Sports Illustrated team with that starting
Steve
lineup.
Nash.
Steve Nash, Dwight Howard, Pau Gasol, Kobe Bryant. Sucked out loud.
I remember that Sports Illustrated cover.
They were terrible. I think they were the 8th seed and got swept.
By the Rockets?
By the Spurs, I think. I think it was the Spurs, if memory serves.
No, you're right, it was.
But, dude, like, it doesn't always... Just to throw that into the conversation... You are talking about a known quantity and an unknown. What are you laughing at?
I just looked up that Sports Illustrated cover when it's Steve Nash and Dwight Howard on the cover, and it says, now this is going to be fun.
I was there, and it wasn't fun. It was not fun. Kobe Bryant made Dwight Howard cry.
Also, Steve Nash hardly even played that year, didn't
he?
Yeah,
he was very old. Yeah, he was very old. And yes, boy... If you could take two personalities in the NBA over the last 25 years and be like, who would be the most oil and water of any two personalities you could bring together? Like Kobe and Dwight would be on the list. That's probably the answer. Maybe Draymond and Gobert. I don't know. Like if you could just be like, let's not do that. Kobe and Dwight Howard, as it turned out, very high on that list. Anyway.
The 408 saying, dude, don't compare Dame to Steph. And while I hear the 408, obviously.
I wasn't.
Obviously, yeah. Steph is like miles better of a player than Dame Lillard. Nothing against Dame. It's just we're talking about one of the 10, maybe 5 greatest players of all time in Steph Curry. They do affect games in similar ways. Steph just does it to an entirely different level. Right. And Dame had an awesome year this past year, by the way.
I'm talking style of play. Yeah. I'm not talking the height of the player, the stature of the player, but the style of play is pretty similar. And by the way, their cupboard around those two was not bare either. Like they've got players, they've got spot up shooters. You know, they made an acquisition this year,
Kyle Kuzma.
Brought in Kyle Kuzma, where you're like, ah, oh, Kyle Kuzma. But we roll our eyes at Kyle Kuzma because there was a team out there for a while asking him to be a one, and not a one. But they were asking him to be a 3/4. And so, you know, they have players, and that was just an uninspiring team all year long.
Is Giannis better than Jimmy? Yes.
Of course. He is.
And he's younger. And if you're just like, who's the more valuable asset? It's Giannis by a country mile.
Totally.
Of course. But there's a lot of other factors that come in here. If it was a one-for-one swap, Giannis for Jimmy, like, of course, you're doing it in a second. But, of course, it's not going to be that way because Giannis is the much more valuable asset. But, again, I don't think the Warriors even need a move of that magnitude to get to a spot where they can compete. If I tell you that they acquire, whether it's And even this seems unlikely because it is kind of like a dream for the Warriors. If they acquire someone of the Cam Johnson ilk or the Trey Murphy III ilk, one of those two, and then they get a center like a Daniel Gafford from the Mavs because the Mavs are drowning in bigs and maybe they want to move off of one and get an expiring deal and a pick in the future, and they're willing to move off of Daniel Gafford. And the Warriors' two main acquisitions are, say, Trey Murphy III and Daniel Gafford. And that is your big offseason moves. You pair that in the starting lineup with Steph, with Jimmy, and with Draymond. So your starting five is Steph, Trey Murphy III, Jimmy Butler, Draymond Green, and Daniel Gafford.
Oh, my God.
Where do you think that ranks in terms of competitors in the West?
Very high. Very
like
high.
Like OKC and then...
It might be them.
Maybe.
Denver/Warriors.
Like, and
is what I would say next.
Even that feels like pretty pie in the sky. Those are like two, I think, perfect players to add to this Warrior team. But that feels a whole lot less pie in the sky than somehow acquiring Giannis and then being able to put together a roster around Steph and Giannis. That comes close to it.
It's just bad business. It's bad business. I don't think he's going to ask for it. We all know everybody has run with the premise that this doesn't happen unless Giannis forces it, and I don't think he's going to. I don't know why he would. It doesn't make sense for him. So it's just bad business. It's not commentary on who he is as a player. He's probably one of the top three or four players in the world right now. I'm pretty confident.
MVP finalist.
Yeah, absolutely. It's him. It's Jokic. You know, we can throw out a couple more people, but they are the most effective people in the world right now. So I fully understand that. But this is a situational comment that functionally it just doesn't work. It doesn't work for any of the parties. And so I was fully aware that you know, kind of the reaction would be what it is. And I'm glad that at least maybe some of you have kind of been here for the contextual conversation that is involved here, and you don't need to agree with it, but that's what this is about. That's what this is about. And I knew that Lucas would put this on Twitter, and I knew that everybody would say what they're...
Are you getting yelled at?
Let's see. Want me to read a few?
Yeah.
Are you stupid? That was one of them.
That's a great question.
Are you stupid? I don't know. Maybe that's up to you to decide.
You're worthless.
Next one. What's the most outrageous thing I can say to get reactions from people? Mark Willard before making this statement.
I can't confirm, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, I could read a few more of these. That's basically what we're getting. And I get, that's how it reads. That's how it reads. Because the quote that he sent out is, quote, "I'm out on Giannis to the Warriors. It does not make sense at this time. My goal is never championship or bust. My goal is annual relevance. I want sports in this city to be awesome and fun all the time." So
you did say that.
I did.
Those were your words.
Yeah, that's a quote. But then when you take the 3 hours of context away from the conversation, are you stupid? Well, yeah, kinda. If that's all you're gonna get out of this, then yeah, it's kind of stupid. But
I'm just amazed, and I know this is how the game works, and I know this is what we do, and not just us, but all Warrior fans. I am just, and maybe this is just me being, I don't know, not very understanding of how fans' minds work.
Well, are you stupid?
Maybe.
Okay.
I might be.
Just checking.
I am just amazed at how eager so many of us are to end the Jimmy Butler experiment now, because Steph got hurt and they lost in the second round of the playoffs. I don't know how you feel. If Steph stayed healthy, you think they'd beat the T-Wolves?
Most likely.
Yeah, I think so too.
Most likely. I mean, they already had a bird in hand.
And they make it at least they make it tougher on OKC than the T-Wolves did, in my opinion.
Probably. I don't think they would have beaten the
Probably
Thunder.
Probably not.
But you'd love to have the shot.
They would have beaten whoever comes out of the East.
Probably.
If Steph stayed healthy this year, I think the only team that the Warriors would have ran into in the playoffs, the way it all played out, was the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah. I agree with that. That's likely. Likely.
And we're talking about a team that at the trade deadline was under 500 and was like, what the hell do we do? Exactly. Oh, Bradley Beal has a no trade clause. The Suns can't acquire Jimmy Butler.
Well,
Pat Riley is left like, what the hell are we going to do? So we swoop in and we get Jimmy Butler and we add him to a team that isn't even built around him in the first place. And still, the only team we run into in the postseason that we think can beat us is OKC. That feels pretty darn like close to competing already.
Oh, there's no question they're already competing. There's no question.
So why are we so eager to blow this whole thing up?
Because I'm so glad that you sort of brought this up. Because in sports, so many fans, and I don't fault anyone for this, but so many fans watch sports in a results-based brain, and that's it. Like, the final outcome is the final outcome. I don't want to hear anybody talk about context. I don't want to hear anybody talk about process. I don't want any of that. I was just talking to my kids about this last night. I was just talking to them about this. It's actually one of my big pet peeves as somebody who teaches now. I can't stand what's happening right now in schools in terms of the process. Everybody's lost a hold of the process and everyone's focused on the result. And what I mean by that is you will have teachers all over the place. COVID has coached teachers, worn them down to the point where they're like, they'll accept the assignment whenever the hell it gets turned in. There's no more due dates. No more due dates. If you miss the due date, just ask the teacher. You can turn it in tomorrow. How about next month? Some people wait till flipping May.
I wish that's how it was when I was in school.
Exactly. And then they sit there and they're like, okay, I didn't turn in anything, but can I turn in 28 assignments tomorrow? And I'm always like, no, I don't want to grade 28 assignments this weekend.
I've already checked out.
You had 6 months to do this. And I told you at the beginning of the year that I'm not taking your assignment unless you set something up before the due date. But this is the way so many students operate now. And I'm trying to tell.
Is that really how it is now?
No, I'm not kidding even a little bit. It's bananas.
That's crazy.
And I keep trying to tell anyone who will listen, this is a bad process that leads to the result you want, and that's not a good thing. I would much rather, here's kind of the comp that I gave my oldest son, who's a great golfer. I said, if you line a putt up and you hit it perfectly, the exact speed you wanted and on the line that you wanted, and it hits a pebble halfway to the hole and it turns right and you miss, great job. That's the process. You didn't get your result. That is so much better than doing it the other way around. Because when you do, the real world is out here having not been affected the way schools are by COVID. I can't show up to this show tomorrow. It's not happening tomorrow. I got to be here today. And we're losing that. We're losing that. I don't want to get on a soapbox here. But process over result. And the Warriors this year, at the end of the year, had a very, very good process that a lot of people are forgetting because we didn't like the result. And the result is very, it's very clear why it happened and what affected it, at least affected it.
No doubt.
It's very, very clear. And that result is not, it's not like a given that that's going to happen every time. So that's kind of the way I feel about it. It's kind of why I like it. If you listen to what I just said, all those takes of mine that you hate, you'll understand them. It's why I love Kyle Shanahan. It's a great process. You're not always going to get your result.
Sometimes it's a great process.
It's a tried and true, very successful process.
Yeah, draft another kicker in the third round, Kyle.
Okay, no, not.
And a punter in the fourth.
Nobody's.
You cut.
Nobody bats 1,000. But if you follow the damn process, I mean, I'll always fight back and go, here's a guy who took. Here's a guy who took Jimmy Garoppolo to the Super Bowl. And you're telling me you don't like his process. I'd argue that's the best process I've ever seen in my life. How the hell did he do that? How did he do that?
Because of Robert Saleh, Willard.
Well, that's part of the process. And they brought him back, which is why I'm so excited about it. So anyway, you're not always going to get the result you want. But to me, if you go to overtime of the Super Bowl, you're running a pretty good process. And then you got a crappy result. And that sucks. And it hurts. And it's hard. But if you interview for the jobs the same way every time, and you're really good in a room, over time, you're going to get the right result more often than not. That's what I feel.
I get your Niners comp. It's
that
easy.
Hurt you. You were with me until I said
it's easier for me to understand as it relates to the Warriors this season.
Because you're young and you haven't seen the Niners get the result that you want.
You're
I get that. I totally get that.
Anything short of a Super Bowl is still pain.
I totally get it.
But as a Warrior fan, I'm pretty damn spoiled.
Yep.
And I can understand when. Now, the other half of it is the Warriors are running out of time for their process to continue to produce fruit.
For sure. For sure.
And so the pressure is turned up every single year, but the best that you can do is put together as good of a team as possible. And they did a pretty good, they were 25-26. And I legitimately feel the only team that they could have ran into in the postseason that would have beaten them is OKC, who is a historically good team. Like, that is absurd. And if you would have told me before the Jimmy Butler acquisition that I would have felt that way, I would have called you insane and not believed you. Like, maybe you say this is a loser mentality because anything short of winning a championship isn't good enough. That is remarkable and an incredible success. The fact that from where they were to how I feel about them now, it is amazing.
And it happened.
Amazing.
And it happened in the snap of a finger.
And now you have an offseason.
Correct.
To, yes, add to an aging team. Yes. But you have an entire offseason with in mind what you need to do to make that group better when you could do nothing to add to it once you got Jimmy Butler. They are assuming health. And, yeah, it's a big if considering you've got a 38-year-old and two 36-year-olds going into the postseason next year. That is a big if. But assuming health, the Warriors are going to be in the final eight again next year. Oh. And if things work out well, they might go even further than that.
Yeah. I mean, I totally agree. I think if anybody out there in the world is a Steph Curry fan, I don't really know any other way that you're supposed to go about it. I don't know. Like, there isn't time to reboot another plan. Like, that's the other thing that I think is funny about all of this. There's no time to reboot another plan. He's 37. He's 37, and they've been searching for 2 years for something that would reignite this. And then they find it, and then, boom, he gets hurt. We don't like the outcome, and now we want to go back on the search again.
The 408.
Good Lord, I don't want the search.
Yeah.
The Bears have been on the search for a quarterback my whole life.
The Browns.
I don't want the Jets. Yeah, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that.
The 408 says, it was very telling the Warriors could not win one game because of injury to one guy. Yeah, it's their reality. Steph is everything to them. What is the solution? Move on from Steph?
Well,
no.
I still argue. I know people do this. Because it's like the Celtics won one game. But, like, what do you honestly think any of these teams were realistically going to do in the playoffs when their franchise player is in a wheelchair? What is it you think was going to happen? Like, great, the Celtics won one game. You want to know what the faulty premise is that we work with? We've all decided that if the Warriors could have won one game and gotten the series back to Steph, that the Warriors were automatically going to win it.
Win game six at like home and win game seven on the road.
Never lost a playoff game with Steph, right? I don't know. Did you watch the Rockets series? I watched him in a fully healthy home game, elimination night, game six, and they never led. Like, they got woefully outplayed the entire night. So the faulty premise is that if the Warriors had just won one game, boom, plane tickets to OKC. I don't know, man. I don't know what the – and plus Steph – is he full strength? He hadn't played in a week and a half. He's coming out at like three-quarter speed, and all of us are like, well, they're definitely going to win.
He's putting up 40, Willie.
They're definitely going to win that. It's
he's
like
putting up 40.
Wow, that's quite an assumption we're all making.
The other part of it, and again, the 408 jogged my mind on this, it's, yeah, the Warriors are in trouble if Steph does not play, and even in the non-Steph minutes, right? Like when Steph is resting, generally they're worse. So the Warriors should put all of their resources into making the team as good as possible for when Steph isn't playing. Like that does not make any sense to me. Like obviously in a perfect world, you're great with Steph, you're great without Steph. But if you're telling me the goal should be, if Steph were to miss time, let's build a team that can survive without Steph. No, I am putting all my eggs into do everything possible to maximize Steph while he's on the floor. Because that is our path to being good.
Totally.
Like, if I'm operating from an assumption that the Warriors need to be better when Steph is injured, my bottom line is you can't possibly be good enough if Steph is injured. Steph's injured, your season's over. Bottom line, end of story, pack it up, let's go home, franchise over. Steph gets hurt.
100%.
So 100%. Do whatever possible to make Steph as good as possible.
100%. Yep. 888-957-9570, our number. Let's see. You want some more? Remember after?
People yelling at you?
Are you stupid? Glad you're not the GM. You try for rings, not just to be relevant.
I agree with that.
What a brain dead take. They'd have a better shot with Giannis on the team than they would with Butler on the team. Agree completely, but that is not, that's like 10% of the story. Again, we're lacking context. And then my favorite one has come in.
Okay.
I expect a dumbass take like this from Steiny, not Willard.
Yeah. That's actually a really nice compliment for you. Kind of.
And if Steiny's cruising around somewhere at 5:30 on a Friday, yeah.
Well, it probably puts a smile on his face.
Yeah, take that.
Yeah.
That's what you get for trying to get out of here so early every day. All right?
He doesn't expect dumbass takes from you.
I expect a dumbass take like this from Steiny, not Willard. Yep. That's a good take. I agree. I would expect a dumbass take from Steiny, too. But today it was me. So, anyway, you also came in here all hot to trot, and I loved it, because the Niners and Eagles made a trade. Bryce Huff is going, or they haven't made it. They're about to. They're in the process of
making it. Can't be finalized until after June 1st. Not
finalized yet, but Bryce Huff, this is a pass rush specialist who was kind of a bust of a signing for the Eagles last year, but the 2 years prior to that with the Jets, he was really, really good. So Robert Saleh knows him very, very well. This is someone they will use in known passing downs, allow them to move their number one overall draft pick, Mykel Williams, to the inside on some of those passing downs. And you're watching, to me, you're watching the 49ers this offseason really fully with vigor hand their defense over to Robert Saleh to run the show, which I'm betting was a promise they made to him in order to get him to come back and take this job. And for me as a fan, that gives me confidence. I think he's a wonderful coach. I know that his defenses with the Niners and the Jets were good every year. And so watching all of these defections take place, and it's made people very uncomfortable, and you're bringing in some unknowns, some new names, some rookies and whatnot. But I think that Robert is the one. He is the Jesus who's taken the wheel in this particular case, and that gives me a lot of faith. I think he's really, really good at it.
I'm with you. I trust Robert Saleh. As far as Bryce Huff goes specifically, you mentioned it, kind of a dud for the Eagles. He was their, like, Hassan Reddick replacement, and there was so much drama around Hassan Reddick at the tail end of his Eagles career, and then he goes to the Jets, and then the Eagles end up signing Bryce Huff. And they kind of try to play him as an outside linebacker instead of a defensive end. And they try to turn him into like an every down player, and that's not who he is. And he kind of, I don't know if half-assed it is the right word or phrase, but didn't really show incredible effort. We'll put it this way. If he was showing that effort for Robert Saleh, he would have gotten yanked immediately. And he was very ineffective, to the point where when he got injured, he had to have surgery on his wrist, and he missed 5 games midway through the year. By the time he came back, the Eagles had turned to other options at their outside linebacker spot, including a rookie, and those players performed at a much, much better level than Bryce Huff did, to the point where he played 13 snaps in their first two playoff games and was a healthy scratch for the Super Bowl.
Yep.
So was essentially not a factor in their postseason wins at all. And I know where a lot of Niner fans' minds go, and it's where a lot of sports fan minds go. When you make a trade with, like, kind of a rival like that, like, you can't, it's almost hard to accept it in good faith, because no way that your rival is going to want to help you, right? So why in the world would the Eagles trade this guy that I'm claiming immediately becomes the best pass rusher opposite Nick Bosa in his Niner career? It's just simply, I think, a difference in scheme and a difference in what those two teams were asking, or what the Eagles were asking of him and what the Niners will be asking of him. I think Bryce Huff is going to be an entirely different player for the Niners than he was for the Eagles. And it's essentially going to be a win-win deal, because the Eagles get off of the money. They're going to pay for half of his $17 million owed this year. Niners will pay for the rest, and they'll take on next year's, the final year of the contract next year as well. The Eagles, they get a third-day pick in return, maybe a fourth or a fifth. They get off of the rest of the contract, and the Niners get an elite situational pass rusher.
That's what Robert Saleh called him back in his days with the Jets. And you know who will love this more than anyone in the world is Brock Purdy. Because do you want to know what Bryce Huff is based on his resume?
What?
A system pass rusher. That's who he is. And it is also not a criticism when it comes to a pass rusher or a linebacker or a safety or an offensive lineman or whatever. This is sort of the vibe that I wish we had the room to work with quarterbacks on. We don't. The world won't allow it. You have to, oh, if he were a Raven, would he be good? If he were a Cardinal, would he be good? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We've talked about this before in sort of comparing Brock Purdy maybe to Draymond Green. It's like, how would that look if you were on a different team? Yeah, you're right. Probably not as good. Who cares? Bryce Huff did not work with the Eagles, but he worked really well with the Jets. What system did he run on the Jets? The exact same one that has arrived here and back in San Francisco under Robert Saleh. So I'm with you. I expect this thing to work really well. And when their pass rush works well, the Niners work well. That was kind of one of the things that Brian Baldinger said when he jumped on with Steiny and Guru earlier today.
I think when the 49ers are rolling on defense, their front four is eating. And they're getting home, and they're affecting the quarterback. All the way to the first Super Bowl loss to Kansas City, they were right there at the end and just couldn't make the play at the end. But, yes, they've been searching. They've been going through it. I saw John Lynch at the Senior Bowl this year. It was a good draft for defensive linemen. They got a couple of them. They want to build that line back up where they have. I remember one year talking to Nick, late in the year, and I said Max Crosby should win the Defensive Player of the Year award, and Nick got all ticked off at me. And I'm like, well, he plays every play, and Nick's like, well, I'm trying to win a Super Bowl. Max just trying to finish the season. So I got three or four more games to play more than Max does. But, if he wants, to be in that Mount Rushmore of pass rushers in this business, you can't do it by yourself. You're going to need help from the inside and from the other side. And I feel like they've been searching for that guy for a while now with Nick.
Okay. So that's from Baldy. And I'm fully with him. That's kind of my belief on 49er football. When their front four is eating, the Niners eat too. They eat in the standings when those guys eat on the field.
I don't want to drown you in statistics, but 2 years ago, with the New York Jets running Robert Saleh's scheme, Bryce Huff on 312 pass rush snaps, so 312 times he was asked to get after the quarterback, right? And the quarterback had the ball, not a handoff. 312 times he was rushing the quarterback. He pressured the quarterback 68 times. That is a pressure rate of just under 22%, which for that year, the highest percent in the NFL.
Yeah, that's bananas.
Almost a quarter of the time when he was asked to rush the quarterback, he pressured him, essentially impacted the play, he himself, a quarter of the time, a little less than a quarter of a time, more than a fifth of the time. If you get anywhere near that.
Oh, man.
It's going to make a big difference, and you know who's going to love it more than anybody else?
Nick Bosa.
Nick Bosa.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, yep, yep. And the rookies that are now tasked with filling out the rest of that defensive line as
it takes
as well.
Some pressure off of Mykal Williams for as a sure. rookie to have to be the everyday, sure. every down foil to Nick Bosa.
Really good stuff, man. 888-957-957 is the number if you want to weigh in before we hop out of here. We will take you all the way up to 6 o'clock. Couple more things that Baldy said about this trade and the rest of the Niners situation coming up next. Grandy is in for dibs. Glad you're with us, all guests on 95.7 The Game up here on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? This is Willard and Dibs.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down. we've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.